I just love it when we pray before the sermon because we change things around a little bit. I think now that we're warmed up, won't you just pray another prayer? If you can turn to your friend and just remember, is there a family member, is there a friend, is there a colleague that's really alone at this time when we are entering in, where people are planning together and be together or go away on holiday, but if there's someone you can remember that's really, for them, they're going to actually work very hard. Maybe they lost a loved one this year. Maybe they've been through a very difficult time. Let's take a moment just to extend our prayers. And maybe that's you. Maybe you can tell your friend, listen, I feel like that person. Just pray for me. But let's minister to beyond the building this morning and pray for people out there. Go for it. Amen. Father, this morning as we gather as a local congregation, but also with some of our friends that's coming to share their holiday with us, we gather together and we also are very mindful that we prepare tables over this time, many of us, to meet and eat with others. But everyone is not equally fortunate over this time, Lord. And this morning, we are reminded about the most important table. And it is the one that the shepherd of Psalm 23 prepares for us. And then we sit down to feast with him. And so I pray, Lord, that the most important table in our lives would get its due attention over this time, but that we will remember who you are and that we will be fountains running out and over to those around us over this time. For he who is in Christ would never be alone. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you for your church. And I pray that you'll bless us this morning. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, yalla. Yes, julle lyk kleurvol en mooi vanoggend. Julle lyk soos somer. This morning, well, practically, the schools are only closing in this week, but functionally, I've seen our kids on the streets last week and on the beach, so I don't know what that means anymore. But we are closing our series that we did this year, the Sermon on the Mount. We started in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, and we went all the way up to where we will finish this morning. And so we will end it along with the schools, and then in the holidays we'll be preaching as God leads us week by week. It's awesome to have you. Can I just see again who's here with us for holiday already? Welcome. Welcome. Lekker om julle te sien. Yes. I've been preaching a lot the last while, this last couple of sections in the Sermon on the Mount, and I realize it feels a little bit like a tumble dryer. It feels like the gospel comes around again in this way. And then it comes around in that way. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit is taking us, causing us to look at our hearts with the very same gospel, but just like from a different angle, from a different angle. And I realize it's exactly that. The gospel is the gospel. And it will not change, and it should not change. But our lives, they often change. And the seasons in our lives, we often change. And as we remain in the gospel, we get new insights into the gospel and insights into our own hearts. So this morning, as we close up, let's allow this Sermon on the Mount and the gospel to come around our hearts once again. And let's look carefully again to see if there's anything the Lord wants to conclude in your heart after this year. Now, if you're here for the first time or on a holiday, don't worry. It's not like this sermon will stand on its own as well. But for us as a congregation, we've been really farming this land properly over the last year. Let me read for us. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. This was actually the place where Pastor Andre started when we started the series. We started with this idea of two homes being built. And then recognizing that Jesus is tying all his teachings together into this final analogy or picture. Who hears these words of mine. What words? The words about forgiveness. The words about love and anger. The words about logs and specks. Discerning fruit out there. Discerning our hearts in here. All and everything that Jesus preached. Those who take that and do it would be like a person who finds a foundation on a rock. Now, this would be an incredible analogy to use at that time. I've got a picture on the screen there for us to look at. This is what an area would look like in ancient Israel. And a place like this would be called a wadi. Now, the problem with this is people used to relocate a lot back then, and except for really in the cities, no one would really stop you to put up a structure somewhere remotely. It's not like today. But this can be quite deceiving because someone would come around here with their cattle or their people, and they'd say, this looks like a great place to build a house. But the problem about these wadis, it would be very hard to discern whether this is actually a riverbed or not. Because it doesn't look like a river right now. And because it's kind of flat, what happens is if there's a downpour on a mountain nearby, you might have a river forming in that whole area that will just sweep everything away that's right there. Now, what would happen is you'd think you'd be on solid ground. Hey, this is dry. We're a little bit, people were not dumb back then, but they might see, okay, it's lower there than here, and they would start to dig. And you can see that there's das klippe and grond. So it's not like the sand on a beach. And so they might be a meter deep and think, this is deep enough. This will work because, I mean, there's rocks here. It looks like a steady, maybe they compact it a little bit with handmade tools. I don't know. But what would happen if there is a massive flash flood and you did not make the effort to take the foundation onto the rock or the bed of rock that's even maybe underneath, I don't know, meter and a half down, you would soon see what happens when suddenly a dry patch of land becomes a river. Your house will float like a boat. Gone. Okay. And it would happen in a moment. And so this analogy, this picture would be something that the audience would understand. Now, immediately, obviously, Jesus is using pictures, physical pictures, for spiritual matters. Now, what he's saying is sometimes we must watch out. It can be that my faith, it seems, it looks sound. When I look at it, I think I've got a thriving faith. Because here's the thing. It's not the visible parts of the home that's the issue. It's the invisible parts of the home that counts when the floods come. Remember, we've been there a lot. From the inner room to the streets. When you pray, close the door. Jesus often took us to the invisible places of our lives over the Sermon on the Mount, if you can recall. Close your door and pray. Go and do introspection where no one sees. When you give, let not the one hand. What is he doing? He's saying there's something about unseen faith that points to the real strength of the faith. Now, two homes can look identically from where you can see the house and up, because the top part of a home has got to do with decorating. Okay. But the foundation has got to do with skillful construction. It's different. And what Jesus is saying, listen, there's a way in which we can decorate our lives that the one person would have worked very meticulously and deep on their hearts with a faith. They would construct themselves on Jesus, and another person, not, or let's say not yet, but their lives can actually look identical from the outside. They attend the same service. They wear the same kind of clothes. They go to the same kind of social gatherings. This person don't swear, that person don't swear. And so you can get identical homes, and then when the flood comes, there's some that might dislodge and go away. Okay. So it is confronting, but it's not condemning, because what Jesus is doing is he's inviting us to dig, find the rock, and build on it. Amen. Now, let's go on. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew against that house and it fell. Now, what is important is the rain fell on the one home and on the other home. Okay. The floods came against the one home and the other home. And the winds blew on both. And I don't want to get too allegorical, but it's interesting that Jesus, he doesn't just say there's a storm, because sometimes the way we experience trials, they come from different ways. And it's like some of them come from above. You know, God puts us through trials. God puts us through trials and tests in this world. Now, his intention with those is to build us, cause us to be strong, and actually find a strong faith. He does test us. And so some of the hard stuff in your life is from above. It's from God. It's not from the devil. Who's the one who made you the way you are? He's the one who made you the way you are. He's the one, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works placed before you. Who decided those works? Your life, what you would do, where you would live. That is God. And so sometimes he leads us into times of peace, but other times there's times of testing. And one almost want to say, like, and like I said, I don't want to be too allegorical, but let's just agree that these trials that sometimes what happens is you stay faithful to a friend, but one day they betray you. That's tough. That's tough. These are the things that can dislodge us. These are the things that can bankrupt us. But what will happen to us at those times? That is a question. But it's important to note, because these things come against both houses, we need to understand that the faith of the Christian does not remove the storms of this world. The storms of this world reveals the faith of the Christian. It's very important. Okay? And so there is a gospel out there which says, if you believe and you tithe, there will be no more rains from above. Oh, you're going through something tough. Maybe it's because you didn't give financially. Oh, maybe you see. And so just watch out. There's a measure of testing in this world that both the believer and the unbeliever must face. Amen? Right. And I just want to excuse myself there for a moment. There's an inner torment, okay, that will come from stubbornness against God, which is your own doing. That thing will eat you up. When the Lord is drawing you, or is calling you, but you choose to be disobedient, it will take your hair. It will give you wrinkles. You will waste away. And that is not a trial of the Lord. That is a fruit of rebellion. And for that, repent. Soften your heart again before the Lord and allow His grace to flow in. Amen? Okay. Those are not the trials from God. You've brought them on yourself, but God can use them to bring you back. All right, back to the houses. I want to read also just a section in Luke 6. It says, He's like a man who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Okay, so there was a digging that happened, but the digging that happens that causes depth or a faith to be real is a digging that happens in the unseen. It is under the house. Okay? Right? Now, remember, Jesus compare and contrasts the whole time. He does say, if something is real, there will be fruit to testify to it. Remember, right? But we have to go deep to where it starts. Jy kan nie vrugte pluk op 'n boom nie. Jy kan, maar jy gaan net een dag hou. Okay? And so what we can do is sometimes we can fabricate, but only for a little while. But then when we are tested, the true foundation shows. Now, in Luke it says, this man, he dug deep. What does it mean? It means he struggled deeply with the teachings of Jesus in his life. He took it to the unseen areas. There was times when he was walking alone, crying out to God. There was times when he was praying. And there's certain times where another person cannot help you. Please understand me correctly. Fellowship is from the Lord, and you cannot and you are not allowed to live without it. But no one else can decide for you whom you will follow. That decision is personal, and then your faith no longer remains private. Okay, but there's a place of digging deep. When Jesus was sitting with the disciples, he said, one of them here is my betrayer. John leaned onto Jesus. What did he ask Jesus? Who is it? They did not know. Because the life or the house of Judas appeared to be exactly the same as the others. They didn't pick it up. They didn't know. Now what Luke says is, the one who dugs deep will find a rock. Okay. Now it's important that we understand here for a moment that Jesus is not contrasting a good person or a bad person or a smart person with a person that's not so smart or someone with great EQ or someone with lower EQ. He's simply saying there's a kind of person who really wrestles with my teachings and takes them deep into his heart. He's going for honesty and integrity, not skillfulness. There's a heart that's really after me. And this heart is searching to go deep with me. And when the trials of this world comes, there's a faith that will stand. And what he's doing is he's inviting all of us to find the rock and build on it. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to give us clues like I did last week. Last week we spoke about how do I know whether Jesus will know me, whether I know him. Last week's scripture was, Jesus said to some people, depart from me, I do not know you. And we said, those who know Jesus, they often get awakened from sin. Who remembers that? They experience awakenings. He calls them back from sin. He rescues them from despair. He lifts them up, and there's a love for him. Okay. But now today, I want to give us some clues of the unseen parts that is alive in the lives of those who is found on the rock. Okay. I also want to say this before we go, because this is not a moral, I'm not preaching morality. We'll see now. You have to be found on the rock. What makes the house strong is Jesus, not the walls or the decorations. It's Jesus. But if we discover some of these things, it will help us see whether we have found the rock or whether we should repent of something and move closer. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray. Now, what we're doing is we're pulling the files of the Sermon on the Mount. We're pulling the files. This is just the conclusion. We're going to visit of some of the areas of the Sermon on the Mount and bring it into this analogy of the home. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. At that moment, Jesus was contrasting a personal prayer life with the life of the Pharisees, which was happening on the streets in order that people may see them. And so the first question we can ask ourselves is there an unseen life with Jesus? A foundation is unseen. Okay? Is there an unseen life with Jesus? Nowhere does it say you need to be flawless, perfect. Remember, it's not your righteousness that gains you God's love and approval. It's the righteousness of Christ. But he's looking for purity of heart. What does this mean? Is there a time in your life where you know it's only you and Jesus? Time in the day. Do you have a place where you go and sit and it's only you and him? Every now and then, do you plan maybe just to walk? Just to walk and leave the phone and you know when you walk, I'm going to go and speak to my King. It's got nothing to do with anyone else right now. It's not at church. It's unseen. Foundations are unseen. All right? Let's go on. I'm going to give you five here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? The second thing is there an inner wrestle? And I'm choosing my words very carefully. Is there an inner wrestle, okay, for righteousness? Sorry for my spelling mistakes there. Is there. And what does it mean? It means sometimes you find yourself to fall short. Like this word shared here this morning. It's good for us to every now and then realize, shucks, I fell short. Oh, then we remember there's a Savior that lifts us up. And we draw into him. We bring our hearts to him. We carry our lives. We say, Lord, I know that this is not your heart for me, but like I really missed it there. Please forgive me. Lift me up. Send me up. What am I doing? I'm wrestling with some of my sin. And a lot of the times, even though it may play out in public, it's an inner wrestle. I go to bed and I'm like, this thing is in my head. Now, we must watch out and discern that we don't condemn ourselves. But it's not bad for the Christian to search his or her heart and often carry the heart to the Lord. It's unseen and it points to a foundation. The moment you're doing that, what you are doing is you're going deeper. You're saying, Lord, superficially, everyone thinks maybe I'm doing great, but I know there's this thing and I'm bringing it to you. What are you doing? You're going to where it really matters. You're placing your faith on the rock. Sometimes you wrestle and there's joy. Other times there's sadness. And then what you do is you run to the Word. Sometimes it's good just to read the Psalms. As you read it until it speaks to your soul. What are you doing? You're pulling into the rock. Signs of a faith that's really there. It's better to have a heart that wrestles with righteousness than to have a heart that's hard. Amen? Let's go on. We're picking up the clues. Then we'll wrap it up. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I remember when Pastor Andres preached that sermon. I was like, yeah, it's tough. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Is there, and I'm using this word again, an invisible, point number three, invisible growth of love and forgiveness in your heart? You start to love where in the past you haven't loved. In the past you've been judgmental of a certain group of people or person, but there's a softening up. What is happening? You are becoming more like the one you're attached to. The vine loves others at the cost of his own life. You are in the vine, and you're the ou trigger jou soms en jy raak kwaad, but there's a softening. You're like, you want to give someone another chance in your life. You want to reach out again. Some of you here, I know it, because you spoke with me, have reached out to parents after 10 years. Sure. He did this to me, this to me, this to me. I discovered the love of Christ. I'm going to reach out to him again. These are good signs. It's signs of inward change. Now, if I come to you and I say, okay, now that you are in this church, you are required to phone your dad and reconcile. What I am doing is I'm asking you to decorate the top part of your house. Because I don't want to be ashamed of people in this church on the streets. Please, moenie vloek op die straat, doe nie regte goed. What am I doing? I'm asking you to decorate your life. What we want to see is, hey, I read about Christ's wonderful forgiveness in my life. I think I need to reach out to my dad. That's your faith. That's your foundation. Hey, my wife and I came to Christ. We used to fight and ons het stil stype vir weke. I pick up from the gospel that I need to go and speak with her. Yeah, you picked up right. Okay. What's happening in your life? You're changing. It's a good sign. Yeah, but this is hard because I don't know how to, you're wrestling. It's hard to find the rock. You have to go deeper. You're like, no, this is deep enough. No, go, go, go. Is there an invisible grow of love? What comes with that is you love and people throw it back in your face. Welcome to the life of a disciple. You forgive and love again. Maybe with a boundary, that's fine. Amen? These are some of the things that Jesus already spoke about. And it's helping us to put our foundations in place. I'm asking you to search the evidence on your heart. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Has Jesus' generosity toward you stirred a generosity that now flows from your life to others? Has the generosity of Christ found in you a conduit to now live through? Again, some people have come to me and said, I've never given in my life. I've learned from my dad, you don't give to the church. Take your money. But I want to just tell you, if there's someone in church that's really struggling, just reach out to me because I really have a heart to give. Okay, so the generosity of Jesus is coming in. And this has got to do with love, okay? Last one. Which of you, by being anxious, this is going to be a tough one, can add a single hour to his lifespan. I still remember Pastor Andres preached a sermon. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? A sign of a house standing on the rock of Christ is that there is, we can go to that next slide, a growing trust in God instead of living in anxiety. And that's a big one. It's a big one. Now, please remember, in this life, there will be rain, floods, and winds. Now, you can worry about that, and I sometimes worry about it. I'm going to say you. When I say you, I mean us, okay? It's not going to change it. It's not going to change the fact that in this life, there will be trials, and some of them will be tough. And some of them will not be that tough. Some of them will be tough, like I'm seeing Anton and Anemi with a baby. Some of them will be tough. You're not getting any sleep because you're looking after your baby. Listen, if you've prayed for a child for a long time, you'll see that as a blessing, and it is, but it's also not fun not sleeping, okay? But some of it is tough in a different way. It's saying goodbye to a parent that has passed on. That's a different trial. These things will come into our lives. Now, the house that is founded on the rock will take shots. The roof might lose a roof plate. There might be a crack from a window down to the side. There might be the blowing off of a window. But the house is not decimated. Okay? And so sometimes we feel bruised. Sometimes we feel something really broke us in a way. That is normal. If the foundation is on the rock, you bring in the friends, you bring in the brothers, you say, guys, come and minister to me in this area. Whop, that window is fixed again. Hey, guys, I just want to repent. I found something in my heart here that's caused me to really push this person away from me, and it's really hurt me. And as you repent, whop, roof plate back on. And what happens is the house did not dislodge and float away. It's there to be fixed. Amen? We are ever being prepared into the image of Christ, but we still have sin, which means we are not perfected. Amen? This is not the perfect house. It is a solid house. Like one of those in Stanford, when the water of the whole Brazil came through. Yeah, we replaced the floors, the doors, some of them the roof, house still standing. Good house. Now, what I want you to do is we can go back to those 5 points. This is not a list for you to chase in order to be loved by Christ. This is something for you. You know, who of you, wie onthou hierdie, speel cricket, slaat die bal op die dak, né? Dit moet mos gebeur. Now it's like, wie gaan op die dak gaan? Okay, right, you go up. But now you just get on the roof. But now when you come down, you're looking for that wall. Okay, who remembers that feeling? You're hanging over the edge. Jy weet, my vriend. Jy hang al twee voete in die lug. And then you find daai tuinhekkie, né? And you know you're safe. Who remembers that feeling? Is it net ek, die manne julle weet? And as I hekkie. And in one sense, what I'm doing with this is I want to help us find areas to see whether, should I go deeper here? Can I trust Jesus more in my life? Now, a couple of scriptures and we're done. Please remember that this is not rule keeping. It's finding the rock. It's finding a person. His name is Jesus. John 6:28. Look at this, what Jesus says. Where do you start? If you feel, shucks, this list, I'm all over the place. I'm going to show you exactly where to start. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who is sent. believe in him. All those other things I mentioned as a test, they will be effected when he is believed and loved. We love the person. Amen? This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on all these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. What comes first? Those who have believed in God. That is the clue. When Jesus is standing in front of those people, he's saying, I am the rock. I've taught you many things, but here's where it starts. Look at me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Find your life on me, and many things will grow from that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Who is here to help us this morning? The Holy Spirit. Trusting in Jesus is building on Jesus. I wanted to bring my rosemary plant. Who remembers that disaster that I had on the screen? It's actually doing great. It's doing better. Do you know what I did? For those who don't know, I had a very sick rosemary plant that I put a photo on to illustrate what happens when the roots are bad. I gave attention not to the pieces on top, the branches. I put love into the soil. I positioned that thing in the right place. It's the third place I put that plant. Now it's working. I've put compost in because when you're in the right soil, the fruit on top, it grows. When you get born again, you put your spirit into Christ. And out of your life grows the most wonderful fruit. Don't chase the fruit. That's decoration. We need to start with him. Amen? Amen. You can sit like you are this morning. I just want to pray for us. Oh, Jesus, we just want to thank you that sometimes we're overwhelmed by so many things, but it all comes down to one. Our rock, Jesus. And Lord, maybe this morning I remembered my anxiety, or maybe this morning I remembered that I've forgotten how to be generous or loving, but I'm not going to try harder to do those things. I'm just going to come to the rock and fix myself on you and ask your generosity to become mine. And ask your love to become mine. I just feel we need to do this before we go. I want to challenge you to turn to your friend sitting next to you and tell them what you are anxious about and give it to the Lord this morning. Let's do that. Just for 2 minutes. What is causing you to be anxious this morning? And let's ask Jesus to come and cover that area of your life. Consecrate it to him. Amen? Let's just take 2 minutes. Then you are free to pray for that person. Just like bless them. Say, Lord, I just want to cover this person in prayer. If you look after the flowers in the field, we can trust that you can look after us. Let's just pray a prayer. Amen, everyone. Just want to formally dismiss you. See you guys again next week. Have a blessed week. Amen. Enjoy the day.